It's exciting. It's exciting. Today is January 23rd, 2013, and this is the Board of Public Works meeting. We are going to be holding the Hopeathon today, which is that time annually where the superintendents and members of the county school boards and their delegation here in Annapolis come before the Board of Public Works and talk about their hopes for their school system and their desire to see even more capital than the capital that we've invested, the $336 million we've invested this year. For those of you listening at home, or for those of you here, I understand Maryland is one of the very few states in the country that makes any investment in school construction for our public schools. Also, no doubt, one of the reasons among many that we have been named the number one schools in America for 5 years in a row. But maybe before we get to that point, Secretary Foster, you could consult the state satellite. I was told by a presiding officer that we're one of only five states any longer that makes any investments in school construction. Okay. All right. Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, any opening comments?
Governor, thank you. I appreciate the Ravens. My perspective is when they win, the economy improves. People feel better. They spend more. So in that sense, it's a great victory. But I'd also like to reach out to a special player and congratulate Ray Lewis. Obviously, he's the greatest linebacker in professional football history. And I'm very pleased personally that his playing time is going to be extended by another couple of weeks. And I'm sure the team is going to do well. And I predicted a Redskins-Ravens Super Bowl. I came up a little short, but 50% is not bad.
That's not bad for getting the work.
And speaking of sports, though, I was very saddened to read about the passing of Baltimore baseball legend Earl Weaver. We all owe him a debt of gratitude for the priceless memories and countless good times on 33rd Street, and we'll forever remember him for giving us the Oriole way. And I'd also like to just give my heartfelt congratulations to President Barack Obama, along with Vice President Biden and their families, on his second inauguration. How fitting it was for our nation's enduring legacy, that peaceful transition of power every 4 years, that it occurred on the very day that's dedicated to Martin Luther King Jr., a man who held us to a standard set forth in our founding documents. So I hope President Obama has the thoughts and prayers of all Americans who put country above party as he tackles the extraordinary challenges. And just on a personal note, I'd like to congratulate a great advocate for broadband issues, Tyler Patton, who is has an upcoming upcoming wedding, and I'd like to have Tyler maybe give him a round of applause. It's great. Katie Reagan, his fiance, has all my sympathies. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Mr. Comptroller. Madam Treasurer?
Pleasure to be here. Belated happy birthday, Governor.
Oh, thank you.
Hope you're enjoying it. I hardly remember my 50th year, but I'm sure it was a good one. Now, I wanted to add my voice also, actually, to the noting the passing of Earl Weaver, who did not always make everybody happy or comfortable all the time, but was a great, great spokesman for the Orioles. And to note the passing of Stan Musial.
Oh, yeah.
Who always to me seemed like what a baseball player should be like. So, we have an extended hearing today, but one that is very important. And you're right, Governor. I think that last count, more than 60% of the state's general obligation issuance went for school and college construction, and that's a lot, and it is a great investment because it results in our having the best trained and best educated citizenry in the United States. And that's certainly an investment worth making. And I'm sure we will do all we can to further it. Hi.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to start with the Secretary's agenda. Madam Secretary?
Good morning, Governor. Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. This morning we have 12 items on the Secretary's agenda. We are going to hold items 8, 9, and 12 until this afternoon's motions.
All of those related to the school construction.
Yes. All right. Capital Improvement Plan for 2014. So we are prepared to answer at this point any questions you may have on items 1 through 7, 10, and 11.
Any questions on Secretary's agenda? Hearing none, Comptroller moves approval. Seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? Aye. And the ayes have it. So we move on now to the Department of Natural Resources, Real Property.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. Emily Wilson with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. We have 7 items on our agenda today, and should the items be approved, of note, we will have not only met but exceeded our base stat goals for Pergam Open Space Stateside Land Conservation.
Say that again.
If the items today are approved, then we will have not only met but exceeded our FY13 base stat goals for land conservation for POS Stateside.
Great. If anybody would like to check out the suite of actions, over 30 of them, that go towards Maryland meeting its 2-year benchmarks and milestones for bay restoration and bay cleanup, you can do that by going to www.maryland.gov, click on the bay stat icon, and then you can zero in there on the various actions, including this particular one, which is conservation of open space, the valuable land in this very densely populated state that allows the bay to maintain some minimum amount of green liver, green kidneys, green lungs, if you will, to filter the water that runs off our blacktops and eventually into the bay. So, any questions on DNR?
Also, if I may, we do have folks from Prince George's County, Parks and Recs, and Planning Department on item 3A, the Wilmer Park acquisition.
Good.
Sitting in the audience.
And it's a good one.
It is.
All right. Treasurer moves approval, seconded by the Comptroller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. Congratulations, Prince George's County. Your presentation was eloquent, heartfelt, and effective. All right, we move on now to the Department of Budget Management.
Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, good morning. There are 9 items on the Department of Budget Management's agenda for today. I'd like to withdraw item 8, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Item 8 is withdrawn. Any question on the Department of Budget Management agenda items? Mr. Comptroller.
Yes, item 2, please, Madam Secretary.
Okay. Mr. Comptroller, item 2 is a contract to provide ticketing services for the MARC train and the MTA commuter bus system train. And Nancy Noonan, who's the Deputy Chief Administration Officer from MDOT, is here.
Good morning. I'm Nancy Noonan. You can answer any questions you may have.
Yes, it's really a generic question, Madam Secretary, maybe for you. I noticed in the last calendar year we've approved 49 single-bid awards with a value of $126,338,286. And a couple of those have been my own agencies. I understand the need for single bids, for software, proprietary reasons, et cetera. But I'm wondering if you are keeping an eye on this phenomena, I would describe it, I guess, of single-bid contracts. It seems to me to be quite high, and I'm wondering if we can't redouble somehow the efforts for our agencies to produce competition, except in instances where, obviously, there's no possibility.
Well, I think as a matter of practice, one of the things that we do is when we have single bids, we do ask the agencies to send back or to reach out to all of the companies that they have sent the RFPs to ask why they did not bid. I think we have tried to include that in the items in terms of either they decided that it was an inappropriate time for them to work on it, but we will redouble our efforts in terms of trying to increase competition.
Well, perhaps they could list in these single bids what efforts they made to generate competition, because some of these are not particularly low. The one that caught my eye was $40 million to Pete Flanagan to pave a runway out at the airport. Then there was $9 million for non-hazardous waste management. Then there was $4 million to electronic vision access in October. And then there's $5.8 million to something called phone nicotine cessation counseling, which I'm all in favor of, obviously, but single bid contracts for those items seem to be...
Mr. Comptroller, if you'd like us to go back and follow up with the agencies in terms of why there was no further competition, we'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, and if they could put on their letters, their support or whatever, what efforts they took to generate it. And this particular contract is for $18 million, and what exactly is it going to do?
It's for 5 years. It's to provide the ticketing services for our MARC commuter train and our commuter bus, web-based sales, online store, and three storefronts.
And why do we only have a single bid?
Well, we went out. This is the second time around for this. We, during the pre-bid meeting, we had, I think, five vendors come in. And when we, you know, sent the questionnaire and asked them why they didn't bid, we did not get any responses. This last time around, we actually had two bidders come in for this. One pulled out in the BAFO. The only piece they could provide was electronic ticketing, and we needed more than that. They were a company from the UK.
But does that make sense to you? Is this some kind of special operation that is... off limits to?
No, I mean, this kind of service I think is pretty basic. It's a system. We contacted Ticketmaster, and I apologize, I can't remember the name of the other big company that does like ferry services, things like that. I don't know if they didn't think it was big enough or they just weren't interested in expanding their services.
And the company that was disqualified, what was their bid? Or was it not even looked at?
We didn't even open it. When we went for best and final, they withdrew.
Okay, well, thank you. And thank you, Madam Secretary, for redoubling the efforts of your agencies. To.
I could get that list from Jerry.
Sure. That was just the ones off the top. And I understand, for example, Flanagan got the $40 million contract because he was the only one that had a special license. But, I mean, some of these Maryland companies should be able to get that license from the FAA. It's not, that's a big contract. So, thank you for that.
Well, yeah. Any other questions on Department of Budget Management?
Where's my favorite, that Acorn contract? Number nine?
Governor, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer, this is the project vote, payment of the judgment issued by the Federal District Court against the defendants, including defendants in their individual capacity.
Right. So let me just review the bidding on this. You took this to a Federal District Court judge. He agreed with us that this was not a justified payment.
He initially determined that the plaintiffs were not entitled to any attorney's fees, as we had requested that he find. The plaintiffs appealed that to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which overturned the district court's ruling, decided that the plaintiffs were entitled to attorney's fees, and then sent it back for a determination of the amount.
Okay. And then, but they didn't even give a hearing to us.
The Fourth Circuit did not hear argument on the case. They decided it on the briefs that were submitted.
Okay. And now the law firm is saying, if you don't pay us the money, we're going to go after the innocent state officials that were individually named.
They have said that they would pursue collection against the individual employees who were defendants and who the judgment was entered against, yes.
And the Fourth Circuit seems to be in cahoots with them on that strategy because they're scheduled some kind of garnishment hearing or something.
It's not the Fourth Circuit. This is back in the district court, which was the trial court for that's where the collection activity would occur. They initially filed an application for writ of garnishment for state funds and said that if they weren't successful with respect to that, that they would pursue the individuals. And the court has scheduled a hearing for February 7th on their application for a writ of garnishment if the judgment is not paid before then.
Right. And then you got a nice letter from the law firm dated January 7th, saying, on Friday afternoon you called and asked me who would receive the fee award in this case. The recipients of that award are completely irrelevant to the state's obligation to pay it. The state cannot pick and choose which court orders to obey based on whom the order benefits. But they then went on to say none of this money is going to Acorn.
They did say that.
And then they said it's going to go to ACLU and other law firms. How is that broken down?
There were three law firms that were involved in the case in addition to the ACLU, one that handled all the trial work in the case, and then two that handled the appellate work when the district court's decision not to pay attorney's fees was appealed to the Fourth Circuit. I understand that at least one of those firms is not going to be getting any of the money. So it would be the other two firms and the ACLU. We don't know how they would individually break it up amongst themselves, but they have said that the award would be going only to the attorney's fees. It's an attorney's fee award, so they would be taking it from the firms who did the work on the case. But we don't know the exact percentages that they would be dividing it up.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hold my nose and vote for this, but it's I think reprehensible that the federal district court judge's decision after a hearing is overturned without any so much as a formal hearing at the Fourth Circuit, and then this law firm goes after innocent individuals. But that's I guess that's their style, and so I will reluctantly vote for it. But it is what it is. Shouldn't be paid.
Any other questions on Department of Budget Management agenda items?
Is that it?
All in favor, signify saying aye. I'm sorry. Controller moves to approve Department of Budget Management agenda items. Seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signify saying aye. Aye. All opposed. The ayes have it. And we move on now to the University System of Maryland, Mr. Evans.
Good morning. Joe Evans, representing the University System of Maryland. We have two items on the agenda today. You can answer any questions.
Any questions, University System of Maryland? Treasurer moves approval. Seconded by the Comptroller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. And we move on now to the Department of Information Technology.
Good morning, Governor. Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. For the record, L.H. Schlanger, Department of IT. This morning we have four items on our agenda, and I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Any questions? Controller moves approval, seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. We move now to the Department of General Services. No? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Department of Transportation.
Good morning, Governor.
Do it. We're overlapping in my book.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, Daryl Mobley, Acting Secretary for the Department of Transportation. MDOT is presenting 20 items. Items 2C, MOD, 5AE mod and 10M mod have been revised. Be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions?
Is there a Item 20.
Item 20.
Item 20 is the adoption of resolutions authorizing the issuance and sale by the department of its consolidated transportation bond series 2013. Be happy to answer any questions that you may have, Mr. Comptroller.
Where did the amount $315 million, let's see, we spent $110 million 4 years ago, $140 million 3 years ago, $161 million 2 years ago, and $115 million last year?
Mm-hmm. This sale is a part of MDOT's normal practice to issue debt when necessary to cover cash flow needs for the capital program. The department's authorized level of bonds outstanding is $1.9 billion for fiscal year 2013. This would take us to $1.8
billion. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So when are you going to market?
I'm sorry?
When are you going to market?
We are going to market on this. Let me just...
Like 10 days from now?
Get through my notes. I believe we're going to market... Jane, do you know when we're going to market on this? I think it's 2 months, isn't it?
No,
manager,
February 13th is when we're going to 14? 13. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks before your sale.
Be interesting to see how it is then.
Yes, it will be.
Thank you.
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Treasurer moves approval, seconded by the Comptroller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. We move on now to the Department of General Services.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller. Al Collins, Secretary of Department of General Services. Today we have 20 items on our agenda, including one supplemental, and we have revised item 10. We'd be glad to answer any questions you have on any of the items on our agenda.
And question. Department of General Services.
Where is that, Member Cohen? Yes, I have a question on item 20. Yeah.
Has to do with Maryland Solar?
Correct. My understanding of this is that this company is essentially on the financial ropes. What exactly are we doing here?
Let me ask Mr. Michael Gaines to come up. This Secretary for Real Estate has been our lead on this agenda item. It involves a transfer of ownership. Mr. Gaines will explain the peculiarities on it.
Yes, good morning. Michael Gaines, Assistant Secretary, Department of General Services. Morning, Governor, Madam Treasurer, Comptroller. And your question, sir?
I can kind of follow what you're doing here. What I don't understand is why are we doing it?
Why do we have the approval before you for the transfer?
Yes.
What we see here is the First Solar as the current single member of Maryland Solar LLC built the solar farm. They are a manufacturer of solar panels. It is their business model to find opportunities for developing solar farms such as this where they can manufacture and install their panels to help create help them manage competition in the industry. Their model also provides that once the projects are built, they then find a buyer or an investor to take over the project, and that's the case here, where GE Capital invest in these kinds of projects around the country, found this project to fit their model, and have reached a financial agreement to purchase First Solar's interest in Maryland Solar.
Well, here's the current issue of Money Magazine has an article about First Solar where it essentially says the sun didn't shine on this solar panel manufacturer, a former high flyer that saw its cost advantage over its Chinese rivals all but disappear last year. Amid growing competition from abroad, shares of First Solar, which was forced to lay off 30% of its workers, sank in the first 11 months of 2012. And then it goes on to talk about President Obama's reelection possibly getting new credits. But the recommendation from Money Magazine is ignore the speculation and sell First Solar, blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Well, in light of those facts or that report, we think that this is a eminently good transaction for the state of Maryland. GE Capital is a huge, huge company that invests in these kinds of projects throughout the country. For them to be replacing First Solar as the majority owner in Maryland Solar is, frankly, a benefit to the state of Maryland.
And I might add, I would imagine, also encourages other entrepreneurs to build more solar projects when they see that there is a player as large as GE Capital that will come in and buy these things up after they're up and going.
That's absolutely correct, Governor. In fact, we're looking at this as a way of encouraging other investment. The way this deal is structured, we believe the industry is moving in a direction that encourages greater investment from larger companies, thus enabling other renewable energy projects to be started and encouraged.
I wonder if we should consider doubling our solar carve-out. It seems to be the most, it seems to be the part of our renewable portfolio that's growing the fastest.
We agree, Governor. That shows a lot of promise that solar continues to be moving.
Because we're hitting what we carved out.
Yes, sir.
Right? I mean, already.
Yes, sir.
Because of projects like this.
Yes,
do you think the industry would have the capacity to... Well, that's why the legislature's here, right? To consider all of these things.
Yeah, I think the article goes on to say there's an industry-wide glut of solar panels, so maybe there's some on the cheap out there we can get. And, of course, Solyndra, I'm sure, has got Congress all excited about renewing credits. But, you know, the only question here is, do you look at the economic feasibility of these things, or are we just being led?
Why are you concluding this is bad, though, Mr. Comptroller? I don't understand the reasoning. Why is it bad when somebody sees a value to purchasing this? Doesn't that support the notion that this is the way things are going?
I don't know what the purchase is. I know they're just getting leased for 30 years from the state. So,
GE is actually purchasing the First Solar membership interest in Maryland. So there's a financial
transaction. How much are they paying for that?
That's proprietary information.
But it's not like this is a foreclosure.
Well, the company is about close to belly up, but maybe not.
You mean the one they're purchasing from, but not the one that's buying it. Do I misunderstand this? Is the one that's buying it about to go belly up?
No. GE Capital is a multiple billion-dollar company, which is purchasing First Solar in Maryland Solar. So we're getting GE Capital as our new tenant in Maryland Solar.
It's good.
We think so.
Yeah. It's eminently to the benefit of the state of Maryland.
I like solar, but I want it to be economically feasible. And First Solar, the group that we contracted with originally,
is who knows whether they're even going to be in business. I understand it's being transferred to GE. I'd be interested in what terms are, and I'm going to support the payment of the transfer of the 30-year lease because the other company that we originally contracted with is not doing very well. And I'm just urging all of us as we move forward into alternative energy sources that we are careful about the economic feasibility. It's perfectly valid. You can be pro-solar, but also and pro-wind and pro-alternative energy. But let's just be careful as we move forward.
Point taken.
Have we lost a dime on this deal?
We actually have not lost anything. We've created jobs.
Right.
We've generated new tax revenue.
Right.
Encouraged partnership between the private sector and the public sector. This is built on land that was formerly used for farming and is now increased in value. Relationship with the detention center and the community college benefited because of the
And we put more renewable energy on the
absolutely.
On the grid of an increasingly hotter planet.
Yes, sir.
Good. Huh? Sounds like it's working.
We'd like to do more.
I'd like you to do more.
Sir.
Okay, Comptroller moves approval, seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signal by saying aye. And that, aye. And
aye.
That, it passes. And so that concludes our Board of Public Works agenda items, except for this little bit of business called the Hope-a-thon, which will begin after station identification. You're listening to the Board of Public Works. So I think we can go right into it, huh? Are we doing this alphabetical? I'm getting some more water. We'll be back in 2 seconds.
Hello, Eric Mark.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh.